So Revelation chapter 3, verse 14, it starts out, "The one who has an ear," say, "I have an ear." Yeah, we all have ears. "The one who has an ear," it's not talking about physical ear. It's talking about a spiritual ear, because he's speaking to spiritual people. "The one who has an ear, hear what the Spirit says to the churches." That replaces the Old Testament formula, "Thus saith the Lord." So whenever a prophet would speak, they followed that formula, "Thus saith the Lord." But in the New Testament, it's changed. And especially since Jesus is now risen on high. So this is the word that he says, because you hear the Spirit. You hear the Holy Spirit. He speaks to you. "Hear what the Spirit says to the churches." Notice that it's plural. Not just church, but churches. There is a way of referring to the whole church on earth with capital C. So that's church. But there's also a way in which that church is divided into churches, and I would say local churches, because the sin of our age is having a church that's worldwide and it belongs to the Pope. It belongs to some leader somewhere. That's evil. That's completely evil, because Jesus Christ is the head of his church. And he is not, he could not, it's impossible for him to have assigned that to another person on earth. Because it said in 1 Timothy 2:5, that we only have one mediator between us and God. There can't be another. Can't be an emperor, can't be a king, it can't be King Henry VIII, it can't be a pope, it can't be some local head of the church, and it can't be our own government. No one can stand between you and God. No one. And that's true of every man. Whether you're Caesar or not, it's true of you too. You cannot change the equation, the formula. So, "And to the angel of the church of Laodicea." Now this is an angel. There are different ones. This one is the last one. And it refers to the fact that from 1836, this angel went into its pronouncements, into its word, from Jesus Christ. So this word is Jesus Christ speaking to his churches about sin. Why, if we believe in Christ, would we worry about sin since he forgave sins? Because Christians still sin. It'd be different that if you became a Christian, got baptized, and you came up saintly, it'd be different. But every day, every single day, I die daily. Every single day you have to die daily. And so that means you have to go from 4 to 5 to 6 in our chair behind me. Those chairs represent salvation as a process. And that's why I use this example. The process is really those three chairs. But what precedes it is sinner and then hypocrite, whatever. And you might be a hypocrite Christian, which means you're a Christian in name only, but in fact you're a foolish virgin or a hypocrite or someone less than a Christian. And believe me, there's a huge consequence to that. So this church of Laodicea is a lukewarm church. I mean, it's totally the last church. Instead of being fervent, on fire, the last church on earth before Jesus comes back is a church that allows the beast, the Antichrist, to come forth, and the false prophet. The false prophet. So this, and they've already done in the with Satan's inspiration, they've already done in the whore of Babylon. The whore of Babylon. So the whore of Babylon means that she didn't begin with Rome, nor Greece, nor Persia. She began in Babylon. So the original whore of Babylon and her daughters, they're whores also, are under the law. They're under the yoke of bondage. They're under the law. So all those governments and their churches are polluted 100%. And that's why the Reformation changed all that and brought us back to the gospel. No sin in that church at all. No sin in that church at all. So every other church has Jezebel or Nicolaitans or other sins that he points out. This sin of the church today, before he comes back, is the sin of lukewarmness. You say you're a Christian. You've been born again, chair four. You stopped. That's it. You didn't want to suffer. You didn't want to get rid of your sin. You didn't want to confess every day. He is faithful and just to forgive us all your sins. Every day, that's what I do. Every day, I get before God and ask him, what offends you in me? What are you displeased with? He doesn't ask me that as a Christian. He asks me that as a Christian. Because I'm a Christian, and you can't go to heaven if you're a foolish virgin, if you're a hypocrite, if you're a liar, if in fact you've listened to the devil. So Satan has arranged it so that this particular Laodicean church has lasted all the way up until 2017, and it's still not time. There's still at least 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. We don't know. And it's not important. But it'll be early. It won't be 1,000 years. It'll be in a few years. Because I don't know if you've noticed, but the world itself has become lawless. The world itself. It can't stop lawlessness. It can't stop sin. So the hot church could. That's us. But the cold church or the lukewarm church can't. Lukewarm makes nobody hot. And certainly cold doesn't make it hot. But there's more hope for the cold than there is for the hot. If you're a Christian, but you only came to chair four, but you didn't advance to chair five, where your sins are daily by the Holy Spirit pointed out to you, by the Holy Spirit. Hear what the Spirit says to the churches. I mean, it's incredible that the Holy Spirit's work, you'll be surprised at my answer, is to kill you. To kill your flesh. To kill you. You already have a new heart. You got that at chair four. But you never developed it. You never went on. So, like me, you still sin from day to day. And God wants to point out your sin. Now, it's not something you know about, even if you think you do. It's something only the Holy Spirit can share with you, say to you. So here, he's speaking now, there's only one sin to this age, lukewarmness. The only sin in our age is we're still under the bondage of law. In other words, church and state are still united. The churches today pay heed, whether in Texas or in America, wherever they are. They're fornicating with kings. Revelation 17:2. Or they haven't yet withdrawn from the denominational structures, which are not God not making any denomination. It was not intended to be a denomination. But yet that's a man-made deal. No denomination is perfect because it's made up of people. But by faith, you can overcome. You can be a Methodist, a Lutheran, a Presbyterian. You can be anything you want because he judges the heart. But he's judging the church in our day lukewarm, meaning they can't stop you from being under a law. They can't make it. So you feel like, if you're in chair four, you feel like, hey, I've already done what he wanted, I believe. And that's true. You did believe. So you have a new heart, but what about your soul? What about your body? What about your habits? The Holy Spirit wants all those. But in this age, the only thing that matters is, I'm not coming back for a harlot church. Does that make sense? I'm not going to come back for a church with spot, wrinkle, blemish, stain. I'm not going to come back for that church. And I don't think people take that seriously, so I'm making it serious. He will only come back for you if you're in chair six. For you if you're in chair six. What about five and four? Well, I don't know, because only God judges. So I'm not saying you couldn't be saved. I'm not saying that. I'm just simply saying it's only six that he's after. He only wants those that are first fruits, meaning you bear fruit for God. That's why this whole book of Revelation is all about fruit. It says, I know your works. Every time he says that, I know your works. Your works is six. Your works, by the way, is six. Doxa. In the Greek language, this word is six right here. That means outward manifestation of God, so that people don't praise you. They praise the God who is your Father, because they saw God when they heard you or saw what you were doing. In other words, that is not what the church is doing today, but we do it. We do it. And I was talking to Alex today before you all came, and he is part of Revive Texas, which is, how many would you say?
Gosh, thousands.
Thousands?
Thousands.
Okay. Anyway, it's thousands of people, about 350-some churches. Is it 350?
Yeah, there's 342 or more.
Okay, right. Okay, so 342. Those churches all agreed to have a revival. It could be man-made, but I think it's not. I think it's actually in line with what we've been teaching for years, about God is coming back to judge his church, and if you fail the test, if you're not hot, you're not going to make it. Or if you do, it's something God only knows. Because I'm not telling who's saved and not saved, but you know when men glorify God on your behalf, chair six, you know you're ready for the Lord. If you're five, I don't know. Even if you're four, I don't know, as there's no way I can tell. But it's only by your works that you're known. So Jesus is only interested in works. He's not judging anything else, because the work proves who you are. If you're only born again and it's dead works, he knows that. If they're alive works, then he knows that. And the world knows it, because those who are outside the church are converted by seeing what you said, what you did, because they watch you. They're watching you. And so Jesus wants everyone to be saved, everyone to be a Christian, vital and powerful. So this group here has divided the city into 10 segments, and Alex is part of the red segment. But those segments then witness people on the street, people in homes, businesses, they just, wherever they go, and the team organizes themselves to do this, but they blanket, they actually blanket that neighborhood as much as they can, to witness to everybody as the Spirit leads. It's not a man-made organization. They have some freedom. But as the Spirit leads. And 100 people more, 100 people came from other states. 100 people are here from all other states. It's not an exact number, but roughly speaking, Ohio, Pennsylvania, New York, and so on and so forth. Because it's made such an impact on the nation that Christians are going about. I don't think it's in the newspaper. Is it?
It's on the radio.
Is it on the radio?
The Western station.
Okay. So the Christian stations at least run it.
Country.
Secular stations also?
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Well, it's powerful because I think it's God. We've all been praying for it for a long time. And I think it's starting here rather than Fort Worth. You know, Fort Worth.
But it's also Fort Worth, too.
That's where I live, and David lives in Grapevine.
Revive Texas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's the whole thing. But it started right here, and I guess, I don't know, is this the first city in Texas?
Yeah, it started actually with it.
Yeah.
2007 as a tent.
It's good. It's good. Well, we've been praying for it for a long time because there's no way you're going to convert America. They're completely materialistic, completely of this world. They're completely deceived. I mean, you can't win them but by signs and wonders. You can only win them by signs and wonders. And that's what accompanies you when you're speaking to the world. Signs and wonders are not for the church. I mean, they're used that way. But that's because the church itself is pagan. that's the real reason. The church itself doesn't even believe the words that are in here, so a lot of revivals take place in the church, hoping that outsiders will come. But signs, wonders, miracles, and so on are really for outsiders because they're stunned by how'd you do that? And they glorify your Father in heaven. So works are what God is going to judge you by. Not only that, all government, all judicial sentences are going to come from Jesus Christ. All power, all authority has been given to me, he said. And so he has the ability to judge angels and to judge anything in the created world by the gospel, not the law. He didn't even start with the law when he said, repent for the kingdom of God is at hand. In other words, let's just talk at the main topic. Repent for the kingdom of heaven. God is building his heavenly kingdom through us, his church. And we are churches of that kingdom. So now he's speaking to the churches about what he's about to do. Past, present, future. And so this is the future because he's naming all seven churches which are signified by lampstands. So the angel is a lampstand. In other words, gives light to all who are in the house. It doesn't give light to the churches. You are a light of the world, the whole world. And if you hide your light under a bushel, it's not seen. So I think our mission in Uganda, which we're going early next month, I think that mission speaks of millions of people, literally, who are Christian, and they belong to the largest group in the nation, which is the believers. Forget what's called
born again
churches. Well, that's six. So what we want to teach is seven and eight. Oh, I'm sorry. That's four. I meant five and six. So because of that, if if nothing else, love, these are lovers, these are disciples, and those are believers. So you're not, because you're a believer, in. You don't have eternal life. You only have it in your heart. You don't have it in your soul. You don't have it in your body. And that's why churches that don't disciple people, like I'm doing today, if you're not discipled, you won't be ready. Because you have to be a lover. He's coming back for lovers. Love endures all. Love is the greatest thing of all faith, hope. It's love that matters. And he's coming back for lovers. He's coming back for his bride. Now, I'm going to read that to you in this Laodicean passage. And to the angel of the church of Laodicea write, these things saith the Amen. Amen literally means, what you have just said, I agree to it. So Amen doesn't mean, amen, preach on. It means that, but it means that in this way. What you have just said, I have a revelation of that myself. I agree that what you just said is from God. You see how the projection of God's majesty through you to others, that's what God is after. No government today can project its strength, whether it's a powerful nation like the United States or whether it's a weak nation like Togo or whatever, they can't project their strength. The United States is the closest, but we have many, many enemies, people that would like to see us fall, that would like to see this nation fall. And the reason is Antichrist. The reason is the Antichrist wants anyone who believes in Christ to go down first. That's natural. That's his job. So the Antichrist, which is a creation of Satan, this is Satan living inside of a man. So the ancient dragon, which Babylon, Persia, Greece, and Rome, and all these things, this seven kings, Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Persia, Greece, that's five, and then Rome. So our last, the Antichrist, will be Roman. I don't care who he is. He'll be Roman, doesn't mean Italian. It just simply means founded on the pattern set by Satan about Rome's ascendancy over this world. And that's why the biggest sin in our day is to come under the yoke of bondage, under the law. To be subject to a law. You're free people. If the Son shall set you free, you shall be free indeed. If the Son shall set you free, you shall be free indeed. He came to give you life and life abundant. But abundant is not just four up here. It's four, five, and six. So an abundant life is where you're ready when the bridegroom returns. And he will return on earth. And the first thing he's going to do is find his bride. We'll be rising up as he is coming down. He'll be coming down. We'll be rising up. When that happens, you will be invited to... Happy are those that are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. You'll be the Lamb's bride. You're not now. Only your heart. But the rest of you is not yet ready. That's why he's now perfecting your... He's disciplining you, teaching you, chastening you every day to show you your sin. The sins are not what other people do to us. The sins are what we do in our own strength. You're not ready for heaven. That's what sin is. You're not ready for heaven. You're still full of sin. And everyone is. I mean, so it's not unique, except Pastor Dave and myself. But that was not true, what I just said. What that means is Pastor Dave and I've never talked to David about this, but I'm sure he does it. You're praying every day for the church. You're praying every day for your own sins and so on. Get rid of all the sin. Otherwise, you shouldn't be in the job. If you have egregious sins, heinous sins, evil, wickedness, you shouldn't really be a pastor. And many pastors, I think, are human. They're way too much human, lukewarm. But the yoke of bondage is to come under the law, which is what? In our day, it's idolatry because you've worshipped someone other than Jesus. It's fornication because you're now joining yourself, yoked together in bondage, the yoke of bondage, keeping the law. And you know what? It's premature because during the millennium, the Jewish people will be ruling the world on earth as it is in heaven. So the Jewish people, whatever you've read in the Old Testament, it's all going to be actual. They actually will rule over the nations. And the nations will obey, whether their heart's in it or not. They will obey because they learn righteousness through what they suffer. And so we'll be in heaven with Jesus after the marriage supper of the Lamb. And now you are his bride, the bride of Christ. So you can't just say the church today is the bride of Christ. You can say it only is spiritually. But in practical terms, you haven't yet been discipled so that all sin is gone and it doesn't have any control or governance over you. It no longer has dominion over your life. You can still tell a lie, but that's not the sin of lying. You're a liar. No, that's just simply you sin and you just ask forgiveness because hear what the Spirit says to the churches. No more lying. No more exaggerating. No more, you know, speeding. Whatever. It was one of mine sins. But I did drive slowly here today. I did. But it's taken me years and years and years to just trust God. And I left 15 minutes early to get here on time. But because the traffic in the morning doesn't start right away on Sunday, I didn't have any, there was no traffic. But 15 minutes later, there would be quite a few traffic. There wasn't anything today. It's just virtually I had the road to myself. But because of that, being on time must be how you get to heaven. Because I got here, and Alex was already here practicing. So God is good. So these chairs, you see them probably as chair 4, 5, and 6, but the truth is, this is the gospel. It's the whole gospel. The gospel is what happens after you repent of sinner 1 and hypocrite 2. That's what it's all about. And so if you're not a sinner anymore because of faith in Jesus, you're in chair 4. And so you repented because repentance doesn't mean repentance. Repentance actually means change your mind. You're wrong about God. He is a loving father, never been an angry judge. Wow, that promise, which he's demonstrated Old Testament, New Testament, he's on your side. If God be for you, there's no one against you. So when you live that way and believe that way and act that way, people see your good works and glorify the Father. So that's the bride that he's coming back for, number 6 here. So this lover, after having been a disciple, you're born here in chair 4, born again, justified. Then you are now disciplined right here, sanctified by the power of the Holy Spirit. This is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And then he's pointing out all your sins, any sins that you have. So you're born to die. You're born to die. You're dying to yourself. You have to die to yourself. In other words, the first thing to control is your own mouth. Don't let words come out of your mouth that don't edify. So So the first thing to control is this little tongue. It shouldn't be saying things that are not helpful, sarcasm and so on and so forth. You should be saying things that build up. Now, I'm not talking about the world. I'm talking about us. Only us. We're the new creation. We are a brand new creation, 4, 5, and 6. So if that's true, then here I'm born to die to resurrect. You're born in order to show you your sins. He does that every day, shows you your sins, so that you can resurrect and know him according to the power of his resurrection life. The excellency of knowing Jesus Christ. That is what's missing today in much of the churches, not probably the 342 organizations here in Dallas, which are working together for the Revive Texas thing. I'm sure they're hot. They wouldn't do it if they weren't. I don't know all the names, but I know it's some of the major churches in town. And a friend of mine is one of the founders of this. I didn't know Kyle, but I know he is one of the ones that heads it up. And he's a powerful Christian, and his wife also, very, you know, wanting everyone in Dallas to hear about Jesus. And so they're going around. There are 10 districts, 10 segments, and you belong to the red one. Other people belong to other colors. But you then witness on the streets and so on. You just share the good news. And when people see your works, people, the harvest is so ripe that if you just share, probably one out of 20 people that you meet will become a Christian. And you didn't even say anything. I mean, you didn't go through the whole gospel. It's just powerful because people are so ready for anything other than a boring, nasty, wicked, vain life. They don't have any purpose here. And lawlessness, which characterizes our age, the lawlessness is, you know, if you just have one person have a new heart and then start on this new soul, and even churches, no churches are geared for discipling. They may have discipleship classes and so on, but they're not really, the church is not shaped to disciple. But Jesus had disciples, and he trained those 12 disciples, one lost, Judas, to carry on his work after he was dead. And he was replaced by another to fill the office, because 12 represents government. 12 always represents government. And so the kingdom of God, as well as the 12 tribes of Israel, that's government. They became a nation, so they're governing. And did you know that you're called, in the Bible, a holy nation? The church. The church is a holy nation. What? Built up of people who have done 4, 5, and 6. This is the whole gospel. It's all good news. There's nothing bad here. There's only the Holy Spirit. Because if it's you, then it's just morals. If it's you, it's just morals. And I would say 99.999999 of people are moral. And a Christians can't even tell the difference between a moral person and a spirit-led. Only those who are sons of God are those that are led by the Spirit. That would be 6. If you also are dead to yourself, the led are dead. If you don't dead them in number 5 chair, then they won't be led by the Holy Spirit. Because if you have any self-love, and that's all sin is you're not loving. You're not doing the will of God. You're not doing God's pleasure. So there can't be any sin in our church. And I see 2 right now. But you can't be sinful. How are you sinful? That you don't believe in Jesus. That's all. After you sin, then just ask for mercy. It's so simple. It's so unbelievably simple. You don't have to do beads. You don't have to go to church. You don't have to fast. You don't have to do anything. Just believe that Jesus Christ spoke the truth, which will set you free. That's all. That you don't do work to get yourself in chair 4 or 5 or 6 or 7. Because that's the bride he's going to marry. And that's what we're talking about today. That the Laodicean church actually moves all the way through the millennium. Moves all the way through the millennium. It's still time. And after the great white throne judgment, that's the last item before there's a time when the new heaven and the new earth, which is you, actually you are the new heaven and the new earth, you will come down out of heaven itself from God to be the new Jerusalem, not earthly Jerusalem, heavenly Jerusalem. It's all in the Bible. And so this message here by the author, which is Jesus Christ, which God the Father made, said to him, and then made him to be the Savior and the Lord and the Bridegroom. All three. I notice most people's theology are pretty much just four. And some believe in discipleship as a concept, but they're not even, their church isn't even structured for it. How do you disciple people? Do you do it one-on-one, or you do it group, small group, or how do you do the whole congregation? How do you do it? Well, only the Spirit knows how you're going to do it in any given instance. But the Spirit can speak to you and say, this is your role, this is your job, this is your where you fit in. And so everybody here is under, and first, all we're doing is preaching now. We're just preaching and saying, if you are only chair 4, you're a foolish virgin. You are not wise because you didn't get filled with the Holy Spirit, chair 5. So the purpose of the Holy Spirit is to kill you, to kill your flesh, so that your flesh doesn't dominate you. You're no longer under the flesh. Say it, I'm not any longer under the flesh.
No longer under the flesh.
Since that's true of you, you're not. Then anger and lust and jealousy and bitterness and so on are all gone. You don't need them. Even though you still do them, that doesn't mean, that is, means nothing. After you do me this, Holy Spirit, thank you for showing me that sin. Is that the one you and Jesus and the Father are working on right now? Yes. So the reason he shows you your sin is not for you to do anything. It's for you to believe something. The reason he shows you your sin is not for you to do anything. It's for you to believe something, that God is your righteousness, that God is your only defense in the courtroom. Amen. When you stand before God, you answer innocent. I didn't do anything wrong, because Jesus didn't. Because he was perfect, now you're perfect. And that's why number 6 up there is love being perfected in you. Perfect love casts out all fear. So that's perfect. So what I'm telling you, Old and New Testament, is the whole Bible is full of the promises of God. It's full of the promises of God.
Amen.
From the very beginning in Genesis 3:15, after Adam and Eve have sinned, the gospel starts right there. Because he said that the serpent is able to bite Jesus' heel, but the heel steps on the serpent while he's biting and kills it forever and ever. But because Jesus was resurrected from out of the realm of the dead, he is now ascended on high. I don't have time to explain everything, but I just hope you hear it and meditate on it. Because I'm telling you the truth. It'll set you free forever. I'm always happy because God doesn't lie. Because God tells the truth. Because God's a covenant keeper. When he loves you, he doesn't love you in general. He loves you specifically. Now, how many know that God loves you specifically? Okay, where did you get it from? Just reading the Bible. Faith cometh by hearing the word of God. You can read to yourself. You actually can read the words out loud so that they go in your ear. And so that's a spiritual ear, by the way, not your physical ear. But it can use the physical ear. But by saying that, and that's why sometimes I say these words, because they're true. They're absolutely true. You are a new creation. The old has passed away. What do you have to do? Nothing. What do you have to do? Nothing. He's already done it all. If he didn't do it all, it's not done. He did everything for everybody on earth. Everybody. Everybody on earth. The devil already had been judged long ago. Two-thirds of them stayed in heaven. They remembered their place and they didn't move. One-third followed Satan. And those third will end up in the lake of fire with Satan, the Antichrist, and the false prophet. All of this is going to be happening in your news. I'm telling you right now, it's time. I don't know when. I don't care if it's 5 years, 10 years, 15 years. But I know it's probably not 5 or 10. But it could be. Depends on how fast you can build that temple in Jerusalem. That temple will be the time that the Antichrist, which is Satan's incarnation, that's Satan incarnating him into a person. But Satan himself is not that person. The Antichrist is a person that he incarnates, just like Jesus is the Son of God. So Satan just copies him. He just does the same thing. And the false prophet may well be our Mohammedan radicals of today. But even if they weren't radical, Hindus and Buddhists and so on, they're all under a law. So they didn't have to be radical to prove that they're, you know, whatever Trump calls it. What does they call it? Whatever. He calls them a certain name that none of the news people want to say. Radical Islam or whatever. Islam. But they are. But so what? Let's say they're not radical. Man at his best state is altogether vanity because you're still under the law. If you're under the law, that's the yoke of bondage. You're married to that law. The reason people want laws, laws mean I don't have to deal with God. Did you hear what I just said? It's not faith. You're not saved by laws keeping. I'm keeping the laws. You're a hypocrite if you do that. Because Jesus has already done everything for you. Just take it, enjoy it. That's what would produce love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and so on. All those fruits of the Spirit are nothing but Jesus living in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. So when you are actually loving and don't make any decision of your own, independent of God, always ask God, do I do it always? No, I don't. I think, do you do it always, God? No. So you always have to ask God, What's wrong right now? What's wrong in me? If anything offends you, say it. And in case you say it but don't mention some other things, I'll say, and anything else that's hidden from me that I don't know about and it's glaring, forgive that too. And so God doesn't want you to have secret thoughts, because on your own, you're going to be selfish. On your own, you're only going to think about yourself. I don't care how much you imagine you love your brother. You don't, unless you're in chair six. You still love yourself. It's two for you and one for me or whatever. I don't care how you do it. Man in his best state is altogether vanity. And all your righteousness, yours, your righteousness, not Jesus. Filthy rag. So it's a stench in the nostrils of God. So what am I teaching? I'm teaching you the gospel, which is really these three chairs. Forget everything else. the reward is seven. But these three chairs are the gospel. That's all. And that's what we teach. It's all by faith. You don't do anything. It's already been done. It's like a good parent. A good parent anticipates, I'm going to have to be up every 2 hours to make sure this baby is fed and taken care of and so on. But a good parent thinks out everything. The Genesis reveals the revelation. And so by thinking out everything, the child does nothing. Have you ever noticed that newborn babies don't do anything? Every once in a while they may smile, but a lot of times it's just burping or something. But every once in a while they learn quickly because they're very fast learners. And they learn the way you smile, they're going to smile the same way. They're going to have the same kind of voice and so on and so forth. It's amazing to me how we want to learn the language of heaven. I'm correcting that every day. Lord, I don't want to be a worldly person. You've saved me from that. I want to be a Christian in an impossible world, in a world full of lukewarm Christians as well as other believers. I want to be a Christian. Not just say it, profess it. I want to confess it. That is, con, means with God. In other words, when Christ was raised from the dead, you were also raised from the dead. When Christ reigns on high, you also reign on high, even though it's only your spirit right now, chair 4, or your soul, chair 5, or you're a lover, chair 6. It's the love of God that we need to do. So I don't expect you to do good works unless they're what the Bible calls good works, which means they're wrought by the Spirit. They're wrought by the Spirit. If the Spirit prompts you, and you can't always tell, a lot of times Christians will do things, and you can't say, is that the devil, is that you, for selfish reasons, or is that God? But what God wants is to train you in such a way you begin to be used to his words, and you develop a habit, because you're actually more and more in chair 6, where sin doesn't dominate, fear doesn't dominate, worry doesn't dominate, anxiety doesn't dominate. You're not dominated by stress. If Julia wants to treat people, she isn't going to treat anyone that isn't in distress. That's where medicine comes in handy, is it's only for stressed people. Well, everybody's stressed. You know why? And it's not because of they don't have a house in Highland Park. The reason that they're stressed is because they're guilty before God because they have not obeyed him. Worship God with all your heart and soul and strength and love your neighbor as yourself. There's no one doing that. And you have never done it. And you will never do it in this world. Never. It's by faith. And since it's by faith, you don't see it. You don't see the things that you're believing in. It's like a future hope. It's like something that he did in the past. And you're just believing that the good work he began in you, he will surely, absolutely, otherwise he wouldn't say these words, he will surely complete it. You won't. You won't even cooperate. I know people speak of the words cooperate and so on as though you had a role. That's why I don't use it. I don't want you to have a role. I want all goodness to come from God. Why? Because only God is good. And Jesus added to it and say, and there's none else but God. But the Greek language actually says, but one. That's in the Greek text. Even God. So there's only one that's good, God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They're all equal. You'd think the Holy Spirit's low on the totem pole, but the Holy Spirit is the only one now that's operating with us ever since we moved to chair 5. You were born of the Spirit in chair 4. That broke the guilt of your sin. You're forgiven. But it didn't break the power of it. You still sin. Even today, you still sin. I still sin. And I have to be before God every day. I die daily. Chair 5 is die. Chair 6 is resurrect. Once you're dead, it's easy for God to lead you. It's easy for God to lead you because you don't have any self. You're not. In other words, you may be selfish, but immediately you confess that, and it doesn't dominate you anymore. You're no longer just thinking of yourself all the time. That's why divorce takes place. That's why all the things take place, is because we don't have any new man. And did you know this world cannot produce a new man? 4, 5, 6. This world, with all of its enlightenment, with all of its philosophies, with all of its religions, cannot produce a perfect man. Only you and I are perfect by faith. You see, it's not something you see. You only see here and there. But you don't see looking perfect. Every day someone here sinning, and you didn't mean to. I mean, you didn't wake up in the morning, I'll sin today if I can. You didn't wake up thinking that. You're a Christian. You're in chair 4. But I want to have the Holy Spirit not just be baptized in water. I want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, that I have the same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. And he is powerful. That's why you said you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. I need power, Lord God, to be a Christian, and I don't have it. I can't do it. I need help. And if you don't come through, it's your problem, because you're the only one that promised that. And if I just love you, because of chair 4, if I just love you, but there's no evidence, there's no proof, there's no sign to the outward world. So in order to accomplish that, 5 is in the middle of those two chairs. You have to die to yourself. Die to yourself. So your first prayer is not, Lord, give me wisdom today whether I should live in Fort Worth or Dallas. He's not going to answer that prayer. He's not going to answer those prayers. But if you say this, Lord, I want to know in your word that you really, really love me. Then that he'll answer that. Or show me a sin today. He'll answer that. Those are great prayers. But give me wisdom beyond any man. He's not going to answer those prayers. I mean, that it's good. Give me patience and so on. Those are cute prayers, but, you know, he doesn't answer them. How many know that when you ask for something, I got an anger problem, just get rid of it. Well, yeah, but he's going to do it in his own way, in his own time, if you notice that about God. Even if you have that habit, and you learned it from your mother was like that, and your father was like that, whatever. You learned it from relatives, but the truth is it's your own sin now. Now, once you do it, you've owned that. Now, I have an anger problem. Holy Spirit, with your power, remove this. I don't want to be like that. I want to be a Christian. I want to actually walk in newness of life. So, is Christianity all about good works? No. But good works flow from someone that's a believer. Faith active in love. Faith working by love. Ergon is the word that's used there. That faith working, doing a work, in love. So it's the love works that we need in chair 6. So you young people, you should say to yourself as a young person, when I grow up, when I'm, 21 or above, I want to be a godly woman, a godly man. So, right now I'm just saying that, but when I grow up, I want to be a godly person. If that is your goal, God will answer that prayer. If that's your goal, I want to be like Christ, spirit, soul, and body. Spirit, 4. Soul, 5. Body, 6. That's your strength. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, and all thy strength. There it is. That's the whole Ten Commandments. So the commandments aren't really commandments. They're actually promises because you do it all through Christ. I have faith in Christ that he lived my life for me. He is my righteousness. He is my holiness. He causes me to be born again. I repent, meaning good news. I don't know if I explained that word. Repent is metanoia, but it's built upon a Hebrew word, nacham, N-A-C-H-A-M. Nacham, Nacham. So let's say it. Nacham, Nacham. So you have to have the guttural. So Nacham, Nacham is a certain sound in the Hebrew language, but that sound is actually comfort you. In fact, it's in the middle voice. Comfort yourselves, comfort yourselves. He's speaking a prophecy to Israel already today when he's speaking those words 600 or 700 years before Christ. Comfort yourself because your warfare is ended. Well, that's a future promise. And promises are always future. There's no such thing as if I give you this book right now and said, give me a dollar and I'll give you this book. It cost me $10. Oh, good. But then it's not a promise. The promise is not immediate like that. A promise is always in the future. So a promissory note is a future that I'm going to take out a mortgage or I'm going to borrow this and give it back on such and such and you amortize how many payments you make and so on and so forth. Those are promises because they always involve time. But an immediate act is just an immediate act, present active indicative. But a future act is something else. It's always a promise. Every word in the Bible is secretly a promise. No matter what, the reason that he spoke all those words in the Bible, from Bereshit bara Elohim, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, et hashamayim ve'et haaretz, the heavens and the earth. God spoke all those words for your benefit, not for his. He didn't speak them for himself. Gee, I have to tell this to people, otherwise I'll fail my position. No. He spoke them for you to believe that in the beginning, when there was nothing except Jesus Christ, having been laid for your salvation. How many know that before he even created you, you were already in the mind of God? You were already in the heart of God. He loved you then. And he spoke all that even Pharaoh would become a believer. Even Esau would become a believer. I know what it says, but you're reading it wrong. What he's talking about, he's judging the deed that they did. He's not talking about them as a person, but anyway. So I hate Esau. Well, he doesn't hate him. In fact, he loves Pharaoh. Pharaoh's a sinner, but he always loves sinners. So whether you're good or bad, you're bad. Yeah. You at your best state, nothing. All your righteousness is a filthy rag. It's clear on that. God is good. He's the only one that's good. He's the only actor in the universe. If it's done, it had to be done by Father, Son, Holy Spirit. That's it. And they all cooperate together. They're all in agreement, not like Zeus and Aphrodite. They always argue. They're always, you know, sinning like people. Why? Because they're made up by people. Everything there is complete nonsense. Satan-inspired nonsense to get you not to follow God. That's all. So you're going to live through the next few years, and the next thing is coming when the Antichrist names himself, and it's going to be the greatest evil this world has ever seen. But if you're part of the church before this age, the sixth angel, if you're part of that church, you don't have to worry about it, because there may be a refuge for you. In other words, for 1260 days, he will hide you away in a place that you cannot be touched. It happened in the early church when every Christian was spared, when Rome surrounded the city, and all the Christians then didn't go back to their field or get into their house or whatever. They just ran as fast as they could, and they ended up in Petra. Not one Christian was ever killed. Not one. Not one. That's amazing. And so the church started out wonderfully, but then the Ephesian church, the first one, they lost their first love. So you did love him, but now you've fallen away. You've apostatized. You've lost your first love. That's your love. I don't believe in divorce because God doesn't believe in it. I believe that once you get married, that's for life. And so there's nothing that Peggy could do that would make me any different than I am now. I love her just the way she is. And I'm not trying to change her. God can change her. I can't. I've noticed that over the years. I don't know if you've noticed that a woman can't change a man and a man can't change a woman. I mean, I don't know why. They're each stubborn or something, but you just can't change them. So leave it to God. He's the only one that can do anything. So when God changes you, you're changed forever.
Amen.
New heart, 4. New soul, 5. And new body. I'm born to die, to resurrect. And then I'll be a perfect lover. Love has been perfected because that is God. God is love. He's love. So everything you do should be an act of love. It should be something that you do. Let's say it wasn't Jesus, it was the devil. It's okay. Let's say it was just you being your best. It's okay. Because the Holy Spirit will say to you, by the way, what you did, you're proud of that because it was actually you did that. Oh. And so it's okay. You still go to heaven. You don't have to worry about analyzing all your good works, figuring out which one's good and not good. Just leave that to God. You have faith in God? Just have faith in God. He hasn't designed it so a 2-year-old can't be like an 18-year-old or a 47-year-old or whatever. Everything is designed for your convenience. Everything is expedient, advantageous, profitable for you. In the Bible, God's making it so hard. He never made anything hard. He made it so easy. You are loved by God, unconditional love. I wish I could meet somebody today that say, wow, when you said that, it just penetrated me. I don't know the love of God. I want to. I want that for myself. I don't have that gift of saying everything I say is from God because I know it's not. But what I want to do, what I pray to do, is convict you of sin. So that when you remove the sin, the fruits come forth. You don't need the fruits. Oh, give me patience. You don't need the fruit of patience. You just need to be stopped being impatient. If you remove the impatient, God, whatever it takes, expose me in that area. Boom. Because I don't want anything in me to hinder the work of God in my life. Not because I want to go to heaven that way. That's not the reason. You are that way by faith that you don't do anything anyway. So what you do doesn't make you go to heaven. What you do doesn't make you go to heaven. But it's a sign to yourself, to others, and to God that you are one of God's believers. So is everybody here perfected right now? Is everybody here perfected? Was you just scratching your eye there? Is anybody here perfected? No, nobody here is perfected. The only thing you could have is a new heart. Chair 4. But you also can have a new soul today. Lord, I probably have 7 sins. Okay. Could we work on one of them today? And you can work on one. Don't try 2 or 3. Just work on one. What is the biggest thing that in my life today is hindering me from being in love with you, making a total commitment to be a Christian? What is hindering me? So if there is anything, don't just hastily run off, but wait for the Holy Spirit to tell you. It might not be what you're thinking. I know, I have an anger problem. You don't know that. You do not know that. Anger may come because your picture is wrong about God. I mean, you don't know why anger comes. So don't solve it. Just do what God says. Last thing I'm going to do is before David comes. To the angel of the church of Laodicea write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the head of the creation of God. That's the new creation. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I would that you were cold or hot. one way or the other, black and white. But because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I am about to vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I'm rich, I am made rich, and I have need of nothing. And I do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. So you don't even know about yourself. You don't even know what sins you have in you, but those sins keep you out of heaven. No sin will go to heaven. There isn't a little porch there that gets rid of the sin at the last minute. I advise you to buy from me, Jesus is saying. I advise you to buy from me. I counsel you. Gold, having been fired by fire, that's chair 5, that you may be rich in love, in faith. And while white garments, that you may be clothed, and your shame and nakedness may not be revealed. And anoint your eyes with eye salve. Jesus is the balm in Gilead. That you may see. He's not talking about human seeing. He's talking about spiritual seeing. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten those that I love. Be zealous then and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I won't force my way in. I will go into him and I will dine with him and he with me. Now, I like the King James better here because it's true. You are having dinner. But it's the word sup, S-U-P, because it's the marriage supper of the Lamb. In other words, if you open the door to me, he's talking about his own church, a lukewarm church. If the lukewarm church, this is why you have to pray for the lukewarm church. Don't judge them. Pray for them. Because they could suddenly have a revival like Revive Texas or Revive the United States, whatever. Pray for them. They need to know that Jesus Christ, what if you had 5 friends that were all strong Christians, hot? Well, it'd be powerful for your life to have that many friends who love the Lord like you do. But so we're not encouraged often when we come to church because many people in church are just ho-humming it. I mean, they're just going on like they always have been, and they came unchanged and they leave unchanged. But I want you to hear these words, not mine, that God's words. I want you to be holy, without spot, without wrinkle, because that's the only one he's coming back for. That's what gets you into chair 7. Is that's the one he's coming back for? We'll rise up. He'll be coming down. You'll be in heaven from that moment on. Last verses. Where am I here? The one overcoming, and all of us are overcomers, overcoming by the blood of the Lamb, word of our testimony. We love not our lives to the death. That's actually 4, 5, and 6. I will give to him to sit with me in my throne, as I also overcame and sat with my Father in his throne. In other words, his testimony was he obeyed the Father. The one who has an ear, hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. Hallelujah.